Today on Real Life Radio.
Which thief are you? You see, well, I was doing fine until we came to the end of this message, and then you've insulted me right here in church. No, the truth is all of us. Because if we have not yielded our praise, love, adoration to God, we have been robbing him. So which thief are you today? One that is condemned or one that's set free? The choice is ours, the choice is yours.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
You know, in a hectic world, it's hard to find a moment's peace. A beautiful sunrise on a quiet beach gives temporary solace. But daily inspiration that will guide and uplift our spirits is what we need the most. It's why people of all ages are turning to devotions with Jack Hibbs. There's a new devotion each week, and previous devotions you can go to start each day with purpose and hope. Jack Hibbs devotions are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, With Me in Paradise. You know, this Gospel of Luke series is one that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as really only Luke the physician could do. Here now, we'll continue in chapter 23. We'll consider heaven as our goal and our final destination. You see, many of us live our busy lives in the moment, but we need to have goals and live out our days with purpose. Every Christian has a destination, and we need to keep heaven in mind as we set our sights on eternity. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that many of us hold on to our destructive ways, heading straight for trouble. But Jesus calls out, warning us to turn towards him before paradise is lost to us forever. Now with his message called With Me in Paradise, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Unbelievable stuff going on today. It breaks our hearts, it breaks yours, it breaks mine. Because of his mission, Jesus is the judge of man or the judge of mankind, verse 40 to 41. But the other answered and said, this is the other thief. This is amazing. I love it. The other thief answers and rebukes his partner in crime. Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, he's done nothing wrong. This is great. Listen, mark it down. Matthew 27:44 says, even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled, and that is blaspheming him in the same thing. Guys, church, listen. The day began with both thieves on either side cursing Jesus. One guy kept cursing. One guy stopped cursing. This guy on one side never stopped cursing and thinking. Or I should say never stopped cursing and he didn't think. This guy stops cursing and starts thinking on the cross. Starts to rethink things. This is perhaps, I know this is a big statement, but this is perhaps the most beautiful, wonderful event recorded in the Bible in all of human history. See, why do you say that? Because you know what? This is what it's all about. This is why Jesus came. If somebody ever asked you, why did Jesus Christ come? Turn to Luke chapter 23 and go right to the thieves on either side of Christ and say, that's why he came. I'm dead serious about that. Mark it down. You ever wonder that? Why did Jesus come? Just go Luke 23. Tell your friends. I'll tell you why Jesus came. And get to this point right here about these two thieves on either side of Jesus. Why? Because there is a radical, dramatic, supernatural miracle, and this is why I call it the greatest moment in the history of mankind. You've got a man who's condemned. You've got a man who's dying. The guy is bleeding. He's being also, no doubt, intimidated and mocked and made fun of by those who he offended in his life that God himself crucified. This guy's going to die. And he starts thinking. And he has a metanoia. He decides, you know what? The word is a nautical term. I have sailed my ship in my life. I've been the captain of my own boat. And I have steered my ship head on into this cross. And this is where it got me. The man thinks just like this. This is what the word, we know what he thought. This is what the word means. If I could turn my ship around and sail it again, I would not sail it. Church, are you listening? I would not sail it in this direction again. Meta noia. My mind has changed. The thief on the cross, his mind changed. In the old English, it's called repent. Repentance. Change your mind. Repent. Jesus hanging on the cross, there's judgment. You guys, not all judgment's bad. Judgment exposes. And this man says, wow. Now look, this guy at this moment, he owns up to his sin. He understands he's in deep trouble. He's not even asking to get out of it. Watch this. What is implied here is that the man looks at Jesus. Watch. He looks at Jesus, and then he looks at himself. He looks at his neighbor, the thief, and then looks back at Jesus. The word implies that he considered the counts that are before him. Jesus, thief. The man saw himself in the middle. Which way do I turn? Listen, I'm almost done. Think, which way do I turn? Every human being must turn at some point in time. Remember the guy I told you about yesterday morning driving up the mountain, going down the 10 freeway? The guy's going like this. Can you imagine if you'd have freeze framed that for a moment and said, which way are you going to turn? You know what he would have said? I don't know which way I'm going to turn. It seems like everything is all jumbled up. I've lost control. I'm in a storm. I didn't see that on the road. There was a puddle. I was going too fast. What is it in life? I drank too long, too hard. I loved money too much, too long. It was men, it was women, it was this, it was that. What is it? And from the depths of space, as it were, the Lord calls out and says, turn. He cries out today, turn. Some people turn, some people don't turn. The Bible says concerning Jesus, I'll give you a couple of verses, it's amazing. Book of Revelation 2:18 says, these things says the Son of God who has eyes as a flame of fire. Wow. This man saw himself as judged. But listen, there's good news for him. Revelation 19:12 says concerning Jesus, his eyes again are as a flame of fire. In Psalm 9, verse 19, the Bible says, arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen, that is the unbeliever, be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. That's exactly what happened to this guy. He's condemned to death. There's no way out. And he begins to realize, I'm a heathen. And I see next to me is the answer, which leads us to the closing point, point three, right here, right now. Verse 42 to 43, because of his invitation. With me in paradise, because of his invitation. Faith is awakened. This is a miracle. Verse 42, then the man said to Jesus, Lord, remember me. And I thought about this. By the way, the word remember means to call to mind, store me. It means to store me or to house me or to retain me in your memory. The word means do not forget me. Isn't that a beautiful statement? Jesus, don't forget me. Can you just remember this moment? What is that moment? He says, Lord, remember me. And I, as I thought about that, this is an astonishing thing. Church, listen, this guy's asking Jesus to remember him. And my thought is this, remember what? What do you want me to remember? Can you imagine Jesus could have, some of you need to hear this today. Jesus, you feel like he's saying to you, what do you want me to remember about you? That you're this, that you're that, that you were unfaithful to me, that you don't serve me, you don't tithe, you don't pray enough. Is that how you hear him? And the thief of the cross says, Lord, remember me. This is guts. Put yourself there with him. This man's got nothing to give Jesus. Nothing. He had no pockets. He was stripped naked. He can't reach in and hand out a coin. He's got nothing to give God. And he says, Lord, remember me. He doesn't even accept Christ properly according to us. Well, I'm sorry, love to save you, but you got to get down from the cross, make your way to the field, bow your knees, and then, you know, no. All he says is, Lord, number one, notice his first word, Lord, mind has changed. Two, remember me. He so recognizes, please, Christian, recognize who your Lord is. He so recognized Jesus as Lord that what he had done prior to the second didn't matter to him because he knew it didn't matter to God anymore because he was changing his mind about his own life. This is freedom. Oh, it's awesome. Faith is awakened in this man. Notice this. Each man is at an equal distance to Jesus. Cross on the right, cross on the left. Jesus is an equal opportunity savior. Some turn, some don't. One man cries out and says, get me out of here. One man cries out and says, Jesus, take me up away from here. Remember me. Notice this. Not only faith is awakened, but hope is anticipated. The man says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Hallelujah. Wow. Close the door. End of story. This guy is it. He's got it. Lord, remember me, and I know confidently you won't remember any of my stuff because you're taking care of that on the cross. And when you come back, remember me when your kingdom is established. Is this not, are you guys excited about this? I mean, is this not amazing? This is it. How do you get to heaven? Right here, right there. I mean, what, do you get yourself crucified? Listen, you're already condemned. The Bible says you and I are condemned already without Jesus. We're condemned. The Bible wants us to agree with God on that.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
This guy's faith explodes. He goes from cursing. His faith curve goes like this. Boop. We go like this. This guy. What was going on? Faith is awakened. Hope is anticipated. What a great thing that is. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come, God might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That's exactly what's happening to this man. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast, which causes me to think this thought. Could it be that God the Father is stirring the heart of this criminal hanging next to Jesus to give Jesus his first reward of his labors? Is this not encouraging? Jesus is dying for the sins of the world. And the first convert, the first guy saved is a thief, a bum, a guy condemned. He said, well, Pastor Jack, if that guy can get saved, then maybe I can get saved. Yes! That's why it's in the Bible. To breed hope around the world. Oh, man. And if that weren't enough, we end with this. Because of his invitation, love is conqueror. Love is victor. Love is the one. And Jesus said to him, verse 43, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be in paradisimo. What is that? Jesus used the word, today, listen, you will be with me in the garden of God. The word means to take one's hand and walk him through the garden. In Hebrew, it's found in the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve, what? Walked with God in the garden in the cool of the day. Jesus says to this guy, we're going to the garden of God any moment now. It's not going to be next week. It's not going to be after you meet all the requirements. It's now. Hey, I lost sight of that guy doing donuts down the freeway yesterday. It was raining too hard. What happened to him? I don't know. But did he call out, Lord Jesus, save me? Maybe. It's situations like that that make you call out. You and I need to see ourselves crucified because that's where our sins put us. But there's hope there because love is conqueror. Listen, very quickly, assuredly, circle the word. It's the Hebrew word, amen. Jesus says, amen. It's true. The word means, that's true. What's true? What's true is about what I'm going to say. He says, I say to you. That is a order. It's a military command. Don't you love this? It means by authoritative, authorized power, I say to you. He says, today. The word means now. This day. It will not be on the 25th hour. It will be this day. Which, by the way, think about it. The Bible does say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You mean, Pastor, when people die, do they just like, they're kind of unconscious until the resurrection comes? Bible doesn't say that. Well, they look unconscious. Of course they look unconscious, you silly nut. Their body is dead. They're not in there. You can knock on them. Uncle Bill! You can tap on his forehead. He's not going to open up. If he opens up, call a doctor. But listen, he ain't there. He's gone. Where is he? Ah, that's the key. Then Jesus says, you will be with me. I like that. Where am I going to go, Lord? With me. Okay. I don't know about you, but if Jesus said, hey, Susie, you're going to be with me today. I just have a big, strong feeling Susie ain't going to say, well, I mean, where are we going? I don't think Susie's going to say that. Because wherever Jesus is, fine with me. If I'm with him, look, remember, going across the Sea of Tiberias, he was asleep in the boat when the storm hit. What everybody failed to realize is, we're okay. How do you know, Peter? How do you know, James? Because they could have said, we're in his boat. It's going to be okay with us because we're in his boat. And then the destination's paradise, GPS. You're going to make it home, boy. Today you're going with me. Oh, I love that. I wonder what that looked like on the cross when Jesus turned to him. I wonder what that looked like when he turned to him. Today, could Jesus have done this? Today, you will be with me in paradise. Don't you think? It's awesome to think. He wants to say that to you. The Bible says in Psalm 2, verse 8, that God will give to Christ the heathen as his reward. I love it. And so listen. Tell me this. Who do you know in this world that would forgive you instantly like this? Who do you know in this world that could have this effect on you instantly? This man was changed instantly. Then I wrote a couple things down. I wrote this down. It would take someone not of this world to do such a thing. It would take someone not of this world to do such a thing. And then I wrote this down. It would take someone not of this world to do this thing. And then I wrote this down. It would take someone not of this world to do this thing. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 says, As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a time of my favor, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. So, listen, which thief are you? You say, Jack, what? So yeah, which thief are you? You say, well, I was doing fine until we came to the end of this message, and then you've insulted me right here in church. No, the truth is all of us. Because if we have not yielded our praise, love, adoration to God, we have been robbing him. So which thief are you today? One that is condemned or one that's set free? The choice is ours, the choice is yours. I want you to think about that in a moment. As we continue in worship, I'm going to give you the chance to say yes to Jesus. As we worship him in our giving and in our praise, in a moment, you'll have your opportunity to cast your vote for Christ as we worship him now in Jesus. Soon and very soon, I remember years ago when I first got saved, there was a guy running around, Andre Crouch. He used to sing that song, "Soon and very soon we are going to see the King." And I want to ask you today, do you have your ticket? Do you have access to the King? He wants you to have access. He wants you there. There's nothing that he did on the cross that he wants wasted. Every soul that's lost, the scripture says each day the Lord weeps over the death of the wicked. You say, "Jacko, I'm not wicked." My friend, I understand what you mean by that. But the Bible tells us that we've all been born in sin. We are all S-I-N positive, and we need his healing. And the only way that that comes is by the washing of his blood. And he does that in his data file in heaven above. And when he does it, at that same moment, he gives you the Holy Spirit right here, right now, to walk with you and to live with you until you die or till he comes again. He's your guarantee. He puts you on layaway for the King. My friend, today, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, hey, just hold that thought. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, those of you who you have your ticket, you've got Jesus, you know it. Eyes closed. Can you raise your hand? The people of God in this room, will you raise your hand? Yeah. Put your hands down. Okay, remember, nobody was looking. Now you, the other thief, will you today change your mind? If God is speaking to your heart right now and you're saying, "Yes, Pastor Jack, I'm going to change my mind today. I want Jesus to remember me when he comes into his kingdom. I want to live my life for him now." Heads bowed, eyes closed. Is that you today? Raise your hand real high. Across this place. Amazing, isn't it, to realize everybody's voting for Jesus today? For or against? God bless you on the aisle. Anyone else? Anyone else? We've all voted this day for God. And heaven has seen our response. Father, Lord, I pray that we'd leave this place today, those of us who know you, with a spring in our step, with a confidence in our heart, and God, that we'd go forth in power. Lord, fall upon us afresh. And Lord, for this young man who's saying yes to you right now, Lord, I pray that you'd so bless his life right now, that his family, friends, even his enemies, in the next few days would say, "What in the world is going on with you?" God, that you would seize his life and show him the amazing meaning of what it is to follow Christ. And to know today that his name is written down in heaven because he believes today that Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the grave, and is enthroned in heaven forevermore and will remember him when you, O Lord, come into your kingdom. We bless you, God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called "With Me in Paradise." You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. So today you heard an altar call at the end of the message, and I'd like to let you know that just because it was on the radio, it doesn't make it any less real. If you felt God move in your life today and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, we'd love to know about it, and we'd like to help you out with some resources. Visit jackhibbs.com, and there's a tab there that says "Know God," and there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means, and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. If you picked up your copy of the one-year Bible yet, we'll be reading that one-year Bible as a church family in 2024, so why don't you join us as we go through the one-year Bible together from cover to cover. It'll be awesome to see how God's Word comes alive through the pages of Scripture. It's an unforgettable devotional experience, and once you see how much God loves you, you will never be the same. The one-year Bible is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.